It's 1986, my junior year at the Baltimore Polytechnic Institute. It's coming close to prom time. And I really only have this crush on this one girl, Casey. Cute little thing. Blonde hair, this little baby doll face with these dimples and these brown eyes that are kind of deep. And I mean, I'm totally in love with the girl. The biggest reason, though, is because she's actually my height. I don't have a whole lot of luck with girls that are taller than I am. So I finally get up the nerve to ask her, and I'm really shocked that she doesn't say no. She says yes. And actually, she seems really happy to go to my prom. She calls me when she finds the perfect dress, this really pretty scarlet red number, and then calls me a few days later when she finds the perfect shoes, which she has dyed to match the dress. I'm thinking this is going to be great. I go to pick her up at her house, and you know she looks like an angel coming down the stairs. You guys have seen all the movies. You know, it was just like that. And I'm ecstatic. You know, as I'm putting the little red corsage on there with the white flowers and the red ribbon to match her dress. You know, I'm thinking for myself this is going to be a perfect evening. That is until my stepfather gets lost on the way to the prom. I mean, we're lost. We're not just lost for a couple minutes. We're lost for a while. Finally, I have to pull into a gas station. He's a guy. My mom wasn't with us, so, you know, he didn't want to ask for directions. Finally, he breaks down and, like, goes in. And of course, once we get through the whole thing of everybody making fun of his accent, you know, because he has a heavy Puerto Rican accent. You know, how do you get to? And we finally do get to the prom really late. And we rush in, get our picture taken. And rush into probably what was the worst prom in history. I mean, instead of a DJ, they had a band, and the band played nothing but R&B, which is not bad, but then nothing after 1980. Mind you, this is 1986, right? We danced to like one song, Cool in the Gang, Celebration is what I think it was, which, you know, you're almost obligated to dance to. The food was lousy. There's an array of cold salads laid out, and you can smell the shrimp salad before you even got to the table. The only thing that we could gather that was actually edible, we felt, was the rice dish kind of at the end of the table. So we ate that and we're really hungry. Fortunately, one of our mutual friends, his name is Haas, comes over and is like, this prom sucks. Let's get out of here. It's like, well, where are you going? It's like, well, the senior party's tonight. Oh, great. We'll go to the senior party. This is perfect. Because I'm thinking at this point in the night, you know, I'm expecting something to happen in my prom. You all know what I'm talking about, right? And it wasn't going to happen here. So we're like, yes, let's go to the senior party. I call. I lie to my mother, tell her that we're going back down to the Inner Harbor to get some real food, you know, because the better lies, of course, the ones you mix with truth. You know, so the food is lousy. We need to get something to eat. We're going to go. Can you pick us up down at the Inner Harbor around 2 o'clock in the morning? Fine, no problem. And I'm thinking this is where things are going to turn around. But we get in the car, and between the driver's side and the passenger seat, there's a bottle of peach schnapps. And no sooner does Casey get in the car than she's like, oh, my favorite, can I have some? Like, sure, just leave some for the party. Cracks it open, and I swear to God, she guzzles half the bottle down. A fifth of peach schnapps in one draft. Okay? And I'm thinking that at that point, I take a sip, and I'm thinking at that point, you know what, this may not be as good an event as I'm thinking it's going to be. But, you know, I charge on, we get to the party, and, you know, I have this thing with girls telling me I'm clingy, you know, so I was like, let her have her space, I go down and hang out with my friends, you know, friends that I'll probably never see again, you know, they're all seniors, they're graduating that summer, and I'm hanging out, having a couple beers, and I realize at a certain point, oh my God, it's like 1 o'clock, I need to get back downtown, I need to go find Casey. So I charge upstairs, nobody's seen her. Nobody has any idea where she is, except for one person who says, well, you know, I think I saw her go upstairs to the bedroom area. So I go upstairs and I'm like, oh, this is, okay. So I start knocking on doors, I don't hear anything. Finally, I think I hear some voices behind this one door. So I just, Casey, open it up. And there she is having her dress zipped up by the star baseball player of Poly. And of course, I was raised to be polite. So I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Close the door. Go right back down the stairs. and get ready to call this cab. And of course, you know, as I'm going down there, I'm dialing the cab, I'm like really pissed off. It's like, why is he getting screwed and I'm not? This doesn't make any sense. So she makes her way back downstairs. And at this point, she's not saying anything to me. I'm not saying anything to her, of course. Except for, you know, let's get out of here. We're running late. My mom's going to be there. And if she gets there before I do, I'm going to be in trouble because she'll know I lied. So the cab gets there. We climb in. And we start heading back towards the Inner Harbor. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, at least the night's over. You know, but all of a sudden, Casey starts like, oh, I don't feel so good. Peach schnapps, right? Oh, I don't feel so good. I think I'm going to throw up. Casey, please, just hold yourself together until we get down to the harbor and you can throw up all you want. But please, if the driver has to pull over before we get to the harbor, we're going to be there after my mother and she's going to know everything. And, you know, my mother would beat my ass. So we didn't want that. I didn't want that. And the cab driver must have sensed something was going on because he's like flying down Baltimore, through the streets of Baltimore, getting us down to the harbor. And sure enough, as soon as we get there, right at the corner of Lombard and Marketplace, there's to be Chi Chi's there with some hedges going around. She jumps out, dives out of the cab, and she's over there puking. Of course, again, me being the nice guy, being raised right like I was supposed to have been, over there patting her back, oh, it's going to be okay, Casey. Meanwhile, I'm thinking to myself, I just want to shove her in these bushes and be done with it. But Casey gets done her vomiting act. And my mother pulls down Lombard Street, we climb in, and by this time, of course, Casey looks like something that was dragged behind the cab rather than driven in the cab with me. So the first question my mother asks is, what's wrong with her? The shrimp. I told you about the shrimp, Mom. It was really bad, she had to have it. She loves shrimp. So she got sick, obviously. So we get back to Canton. Casey lived on O'Donnell Street. And I get out and knock on the door to get her in. Casey gets out, takes two steps towards her house, turns back around, goes right back and starts throwing up again in the gutter. And I'm like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I knock on the door, jump back in the car and say, Mom, let's go. And Mom's like, go? What are you talking about, go? You know, aren't you going to wait for her parents to come and open the door? I was like, no, Mom, no. It's okay. She'll be fine. Just go. Please, just go. And, you know, I think at this point my mom starts getting the message. And, you know, we take off. Finally it's all over, and, you know, after that weekend, you know, Casey and I, obviously we're in the same school, we see each other again, don't talk much, but, you know, we still try to remain friends, but, you know, for the life of me, you can bet I sure as hell didn't go to my senior prom.